Ditching Comparing and a Scarcity Mindset, a compilation.
Have you ever wondered if there's any need for you and the dreams tucked in your heart when there are already so many successful people out there? I totally understand. Several years ago, I remember pouring out all the best words I had through pixelated letters turned pages turned book proposal. I tucked my heart and dreams into a purple Office Max binder and hoped for the best. That summer, I gave my proposal to several acquisition editors. For months after sending out my proposal, I dreamed about the day some publishing house would say yes. Soon, I'd received a no from all but one publisher, and when I got that final rejection, I felt so foolish for thinking I could actually write a book. My dream was nothing but a sham, I had no writing skills, and I must have heard God all wrong. At the same time, I had other writer friends who were getting different letters from publishers, amazing letters. Dreams come true letters, letters that turned into book contracts. In my better moments, I did the right thing and authentically celebrated with them. But behind the scenes, there were hard moments happening inside of me. I wrestled and I processed. And I decided to get still. But this stillness wasn't passive. I actively had to make the choice to reject the fears that said I'd been left out and left behind. And I had to starve my scarcity mindset of thinking that opportunities had passed me by altogether. Then I could see new and life-giving possibilities. Maybe I wasn't ready yet, but that didn't mean I wouldn't ever be ready. Now was the time to stop looking around and start focusing on becoming the best writer I could be. And eventually, I wrote something worth publishing. Looking back on that season, this is the nugget of wisdom that sticks with me. Another's success does not threaten yours or mine. All tides rise when we see someone else making this world a better place with their gifts. When I finally started believing this, my stillness turned into readiness. And that was over 25 published books ago. Let Jesus' words in Luke 10:2 sink into the deep places of your heart today. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. And this is where we have a choice to make. We can look out and see the unlimited, abundant opportunities God has placed before us. To create, to write, to try, to grow, to serve, to sing, to be and become, to harvest for him. Or we can stare at another person's opportunity and get entangled in the enemy's lie that everything is scarce. Scarce thinking, scarce supply, scarce possibilities, and we start seeing another person's creations as a threat to our own opportunities. Oh friend, there is an abundant need in this world for your contributions to the kingdom. Know it, believe it, live it. Lisa Turkhurst. I looked at the mirrored wall in the gym as I moved through the group exercise motions and had the most surprising thought. I never knew I was so beautiful. I really was surprised with the thought. Maybe it was looking at myself in the full-length mirrored wall from a distance. Maybe it was finally learning the slow, graceful movements. Maybe it was just removing judgment and seeing myself as others might see me. I wasn't trying to look beautiful. I wasn't comparing myself to others in the room. I was just enjoying myself, enjoying the quiet music and the sway of my body, the freedom and sense of accomplishment I felt as I mastered something new. But if there was one thing I learned from the thought, it was that I wished I had allowed myself to feel this way earlier on in life. I wish I'd never compared or critiqued or judged myself. I wish I'd spent more time enjoying the music, and being grateful that I had a body that could move with it. I wish I'd spent more time challenging myself to do something that made me feel beautiful. Maybe I saw myself as God saw me in that moment, an older woman feeling youthful, a woman feeling the joy of discovery and the freedom of learning, a child of God, grateful for her life and another day to praise Him. Joyce Sutton. The Bible has a great deal to say about contentment, being satisfied with what we have, who we are, and where we're going. The writer to the Hebrews says, "Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For He Himself has said, 'I will never leave you nor forsake you.'" Yet people continue to seek after more of the things of this world, never contented with their lot in life. The bumper sticker that reads, "He with the most toys wins," epitomizes the world's cravings for more and more. But when our hearts are filled with the Holy Spirit, the demands of our hearts can be brought under His control. We recognize that God has provided all we need for our present happiness, and we can therefore experience satisfaction. Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Life is simplified when we recognize that our purpose is simply to reflect the glory of God in the unique ways He designed us to shine. When we make it our goal to live for Christ, the result is a satisfaction that carries into eternity. Even when earthly needs or wants clamor for attention, our souls know this state is temporary, and our eternal satisfaction is just ahead. "You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand." GodQuestions.org. Stop judging and evaluating yourself, for this is not your role. Above all, stop comparing yourself with other people. This produces feelings of pride or inferiority, sometimes a mixture of both. I lead each of my children along a path that is uniquely tailor-made for him or her. Comparing is not only wrong, it is also meaningless. Don't look for affirmation in the wrong places, your own evaluations or those of other people. The only source of real affirmation is my unconditional love. Many believers perceive me as an unpleasant judge, angrily searching out their faults and failures. Nothing could be further from the truth. I died for your sin so that I might clothe you in my garments of salvation. This is how I see you, radiant in my robe of righteousness. When I discipline you, it is never in anger or disgust. It is to prepare you for face-to-face fellowship with me throughout all eternity. Immerse yourself in my loving presence. Be receptive to my affirmation, which flows continually from the throne of grace. Jesus.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.